I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN torch.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN radio on the go.
Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch it. Drones. What do we do with these flying things at 25,000 feet up in the air with 8,000 times resolution, taking pictures of us, sending missiles down to destroy men and all these things taking place, credited for 70% of killing Al-Qaeda? What do we do with that technology? How do we respond as Christians? They're cutting our budget, just like John Paul Jackson prophesied. Cutting our budget, bringing our soldiers home, taking down our readiness in 1 year if they do this sequestering. You got to check it out. It's in the first hour and so much more. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. And joining me in the Extra Hour is the producer of VFN Radio, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And the city man himself, John Ramos.
Hello.
Yes, we're going to be talking this particular, the beginning of this extra hour, about intercessors. If you're interested in intercession, or maybe you're an intercessor, which means you feel a call to pray for someone, or maybe you've been praying for someone, this one's for you. This one's for you. We're going to be talking also about testimonies of what the Lord said during this time of 7 days of prayer and fasting that we just came out of. The word of the Lord is awesome. There's hope. There's a future. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, I was just looking at those headlines from John Paul Jackson's website. You got to go to it. You can get to it at VFNTV.com. There's a banner there called The Perfect Storm. There was so much information. He was so wise. They just kind of put the whole Perfect Storm in its own website to be able to. It's called Preparing for the Perfect Storm. And it has all the things you need to know, not only just the terrifying, realistic headlines that are taking place, but also what to do, how to prepare. You also can go to VFN TV and watch at VFNTV.com, Prudent Preparation. A prudent man sees danger and prepares, but a fool doesn't and suffers for it. Mm. We've been blessed in America that you really didn't have to prepare all the time. But if you live in the earthquake areas of America or the world, or you live near hurricane areas of the world, or you live near tornado alleys where the tornadoes drop out of the air, it's totally a different area. It's amazing how tornadoes are like, oh my goodness. Run. Well,
My God, the Lord. You know, we just finished up a time of prayer and fasting, and we always try to do that at the beginning of the year, just seeking God, you know, humbling ourselves before God. Isaiah 58, where he tells us, and if you haven't yet began, you know, to live, to fast and pray and seek the Lord, realize the Lord's called you to do that. You know, blessed is he who is poor in spirit, for he will inherit the kingdom of God. And that understand that embracing weakness is so very, 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 very important, because in our weakness, God's power is made perfect. Now, the world and religion has convinced us that we need to have a reputation, and we need to, you know, have a great resume, and we need to be, you know, the right this and the right that. But the Lord says, oh, I can't use you, sorry. All you're going to be able to have is religion, traditions, and your magic tricks and your persuasive words. But if you just would have humbled yourself and embraced weakness, you know, and that's resources, that's your weakness with your heart, weakness with your mind, weakness with your soul, what you think, what you feel, and weakness with your strength. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that, of course, is just obey God. Walk in obedience. It's a weakness when your flesh is going left and God says right, then you just go right. You're saying, it doesn't matter. I'm going to offer my body as a living sacrifice. But then it comes a time when Jesus said to fast and pray. And that means doing without. Some people, that means to the new gospel is doing without cappuccino or something, but doing without, like you just drink water for a day.
Right.
Skip a meal. Skip a day of eating. I don't know. Skip 2 days. Just drink water. Well, my flesh will cry out. Well, hasn't it been crying out anyway? I remember what just happened last week, you know? Mm-hmm. And he says, if you do this, then your deliverance will just break forth. God will just, when we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, he'll lift us up. And I just want to encourage you that you can go kicking and screaming into a fast, but you can't be kicking and screaming while you're in it, because then it's for naught.
Right.
But your flesh is not going to go, oh, I'm just pumped. We're not going to eat for 7 days. Oh, let me line up for that. Not. So you don't even ask it. You don't say, oh, well, flesh, well, body, what do you think? The body's going to go, are you serious? How am I going to survive? And it's like, you've been giving me enough trouble. I don't want to hear from you. Right?
That's all right.
Right. And somehow when you just lay down your life and do without food and you know, drink water, maybe it's a Daniel fast, or maybe, I don't know, a juice fast, but it's just, you're pulling yourself away from the distractions of life and you're saying no to your flesh for an extended period of time, that God rewards that. I can't tell you why, but he's really pleased when he smells the denial of ourself.
Mm-hmm. Pleasing, you know, to him.
Yeah, when we totally understand we're gonna die, and we gotta, you know, also not let anybody know we're going to die.
Right.
Dun, dun. Right. Dun, dun. We're not going to say anything about that. Dun, dun. That's just for somebody's listening. And so that's just embrace. And God just begins to just pour himself out, and he sets us free, and he does these great things for us, and we're positioning ourselves. We're not earning anything. We're positioning ourselves and weakening and embracing ourselves and laying ourselves down so that God could be good to us and to just share his heart with us and make himself known to us. And so we got on a phone call just this Sunday, and ministers from around America, and we began to share God was saying to us, trying to hear a word, what the Lord was saying. There's just so many wonderful, wonderful things, and without just being in details and going through it, I mean, think about what the Lord was saying. It was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was just powerful. And it was powerful. And I mean, if you had to sum up, you know, what God was saying to you about what's about to happen for in the earth, mm-hmm. for those that are with God and going after God or drawn to mm-hmm. God, what are you saying? I mean, what's God saying?
I mean, it's going to be the most amazing, most powerful times that we've ever seen on the face of the earth that's ever been.
Wow.
But at the same time, it's going to be the most horrific times on the face of the earth. You're going to have great darkness, but yet the light is going to be even brighter.
He'll be moving right in the
darkness. Right in the midst of that darkness.
Yeah.
So it's you're going to have both.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just, you know, preparing us for it. I mean, he was just like saying, it's coming, get ready, get your heart right.
Right.
You know, clean up the house. It's time to get serious with God.
Right.
And
you don't want to miss what God's about to do.
No.
No.
You don't want to miss what he's about to do. And if you're caught up in some religious mire, it's a good probability you could miss it.
Mm-hmm.
If you are in sin, you know, in darkness, you could be deceived. I remember, you know, people, powerful move of God. In the very beginning of the move of God, people that were leading, they were leaders.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as God began to move, they left.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're going to write books about, it's like, what? Humble yourself and get back in what God is doing right now. Don't, you know. And they just missed God.
Mm.
They just totally missed God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think was so cool, too, is about God's going to touch everyone.
Yeah, and it's not going to look like what we may perceive it's going to look like. It's going to look totally different.
Thank God.
You know, it's not going to be you're just what we're, you know, what we've used to seeing. Trust me, it's just going to be every walks of life. I don't care what they look like, you know, what race they are, what background they come from. God's going to use everybody.
Every social economic group.
Everyone.
And it's all going to be all together. It's all going to be all together as God's moving.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be powerful. Experiencing
awesome.
The power of the kingdom of God, pouring himself out. You know, we talked about that the hope of Christ in you is the hope of glory. And we talked about, you know, releasing the glory of God from within us. But understand, he says, where two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. So the glory that we release here on the earth releases God's glory from heaven.
Mm.
So the two glories collide. And you're not going to release a powerful move of God from within you, but when you release the glory of God that's inside of you, the kingdom of God, the power, the anointing of God that's inside of you, and you're with another brother or sister who are doing the same thing, he says, where two or more are gathered in my name, then the glory of heaven just explodes. You know, God was showing me about this the other day, and he meets that. God's glory meets the glory we released, his glory that's in us,
mm-hmm.
and bam!
Mm.
You know, just what you know God's showing us. And when... It's kind of hard to explain if you've never been in the awesomeness of God's. I mean, you may have felt the chill. You may have felt, you know, I get a sign. You know, I feel something. It's like, oh, come on. There's so much more to God. And, you know, you can feel God in your spirit all day long. But when God just pours himself out, your flesh can't even stand. It can't even stand in his presence. And, you know, just throw your mind out the window and just say, you know what? I'm just going to go after God. I'm going to go after God. And one breath of God, one moment in God's presence can fix 25 years of counseling that never worked in your life.
Mm.
Just one moment of God's presence can fix everything. Cancer can't stand in his presence. Sickness can't stand in his presence. Divisiveness and strife can't stand in his presence. Discord can't stand in his presence. Hatred can't stand in his presence. All that, it just can't. It just can't find a place because we were designed to be in his presence. And it's an awesome thing that God is showing us that he's going to do. I mean, he's obviously been talking to us and affirming more about, I mean, Monday night of the, beginning of the 7-day fast,
right.
I get a phone call from Chris, and he says, you got to go outside.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a halo. There's like a circle around the moon.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, yeah, circle around the moon. And he's like, this thing is huge. I'm like, you know. So I was doing something at the time, and so I put all that down. and went out to go check it out, and I'm going like, you know, the phone. We're like, oh my goodness, this thing is like 1,000 miles wide. It's clear.
Yeah,
it is. It's like a window.
Mm-hmm.
It's like an open window to heaven. It was like, oh my goodness. The people were commenting in the local online newspaper about how it just put a fear in them. Well, it's just look like Chris says, well, the eye of God.
Like, yeah, exactly. I mean, the ring looked like the outside of the eye. The moon looked like his pupil.
And imagine the rest. Imagine the outside of the circle being kind of beginning to haze and that, but the inside being clear cut and sharp and a huge contrast and the moon being in the center like the pupil. And then right to the side of the moon, you could see Saturn.
Like a sparkle in his eye.
I guess it's like a sparkle in his eye.
Yeah, the apple of God's eye.
Oh, yeah. And it was, I'm sitting here, like I always said, I wasn't going to look up too. So I actually laid down on a 7 foot or 6 foot swing and just laid there on this wood swing, looking up, going, what meanest thou this? Right? And, you know, Chris and I were trying to talk back and forth and trying to figure this out. And all of a sudden, this one, he said, it's like the eye of God. And you imagine you're standing on the eyelid of God. You're standing on the eyelid of God and you're smaller than a teardrop.
Yeah.
I just kind of waved at him and go, Hey God. It's like, ooh,
wow.
The eye of the Lord is upon you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The eyes of the Lord go to and fro looking for a man's heart who's completely dependent upon him. Think about this. And so then, you know, what does this mean? I mean, there's circles around moons that are kind of like, you know, whatever, just a hazy looking thing or whatever. But this thing was just different, you know, and a friend of ours just came by and spoke at the studio, and he said, listen, there's like an open heaven here.
Wow.
Like an open heaven here. And that's why it literally like you're peeking into heaven, or heaven was peeking into you. You just didn't know which one it was. It was a real
like Jacob's ladder.
Yes. It was just like a very transparent moment. Sort of like hello. It's like being x-rayed by God. I got any break bones anywhere? Everything good?
Of course, there was a fog over by my house.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah. You live between the cherubim.
Yeah, right.
The seraphim. That's the name. Never mind. So.
And a smokestack.
A smokestack. But it's like, that was the first night. You know, last year when we sought the Lord, the very last year that we had sought the Lord, the very last day of the 7 day fast, that when I was talking to the leaders, and I looked up where the studio is, and I looked up in the sky, and there was an X over the VFN studio.
Mm-hmm.
There was an X over it. In the sky, a perfectly blue sky with an X over it. And God immediately downloaded Ezekiel to me that, you know, though this storm is coming, that I'll go, he sent angels to put marks on you, those that are his, so that it won't affect you.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, 12 months to almost the month day, you know, here we are, we have X's 1 year and we have O's this year.
Mm. Kiss them the hugs of God, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Hugs and kisses. Yeah. Yeah, hugs and kisses.
I was thinking tic-tac-toe.
Me too. Obviously, that was a John. I was thinking tic-tac-toe. I was like, my goodness, we got a ways to go before you go, I win. But then, you know, Donna, my wife, sitting here, she says, well, her grandmother used to say that means that a storm is coming. So I go begin to do a little research, and I find out that, and hopefully we'll make this available on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com so you can see what we're talking about. And even the picture that we're showing you is not like it was. I know that Chris tried every technology that we had to kind of grab it, and you couldn't take a picture of this open heaven.
You couldn't take a picture
of the open heaven. It was just like a cloud by day and a fire by night covering this hole in heaven. You know,
you just have to be there.
You just have to see it. I'm serious, because they tried to take it and just couldn't see. I mean, it was so big. This is how big it was. I was in Florida, and I pick up the phone, and I call it John in New Jersey. I said, John, go outside, man. Go outside. You got to see this eye, this circle, this halo, whatever I said. And of course, he goes outside. He's in Jersey. He goes, dude, I don't see anything out here. You know, all I see was snow coming down. And so I go look, and do a little research, and it means that a storm is about to come.
Wow.
And that's the perfect. All this, God's like, oh my goodness, Lord, you have warned this generation. You have warned us so much. I mean, the very reason why we're on the air with you right now.
Exactly.
It's for two reasons. One, to warn you and hope you respond, and to help you get back into relation or get into relationship with God and to know his voice. That's why we're here. Mm. We're here to help you. Help you. We want this thing to pass and not stay. If he stopped it for Nineveh, sure, he would stop it for America if we would turn to him. And I believe he has good plans in store. I believe that this storm, actually he did, this is another thing that he told us during the time of the fast. It was, I believe through, in Denver, I think it was sharing with us that, that the storm that's coming, because my concern was the church can't even survive an air conditioning going out. They just canceled church. Okay, when it gets fixed, let us know, and we're not going to give you an offering for it. You know, and my concern was this storm. The church couldn't survive the storm, not the American church. It's and Donna's reading right now what Teresa read about the persecuted church, and she's sharing it with me. I'm hoping that maybe her and Teresa will come and share it for our audience, you know, to be able to hear it. But it puts things into huge perspective. But can we go through anything for God? And I'm thinking, Lord, we can't survive this storm. I mean, look at the church. We're just, the church not going to survive that. You know, how many people are like, I'm offended. Why? Because you lost your place in line? Because you didn't get a raise? You know, because you didn't get the person elected that you wanted to get elected.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that really? Are you offended? You're walking away from God for that? Listen, there's people in jail right now. There's a man facing a life sentence in Iran just for doing what's right before God with the church in Iran. I mean, I'm thinking, God, we can't survive that. And it was so cool because the word they gave us just shifted my paradigm. That the storm itself is going to prepare the church for the generation that's going to come, that's going to usher in what the Lord's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so the storm itself, the boot camp itself, the difficulty, the struggle that we're going to go through and that we're beginning to go through will prepare us. You know, it'll prepare us. Just like boot camp prepares you for the military to serve on the front lines, that, you know, we're going to go through some stuff, but the stuff we're going to go through is going to prepare us.
Wow.
It's going to prepare us. And I can give you some forewarning in that hold on.
Mm-hmm.
Don't give up. Sometimes, most of the time, if people that told you the truth, the difference between success and failure for them was 5 more minutes.
Mm.
They didn't change anything. They didn't do anything. They just stayed faithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
They just stayed faithful to God. They were going to quit 5 minutes ago. And to their chagrin and to the their own surprise, God just showed himself.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do? I just hung around 5 more minutes. You know, just stay faithful to God.
Mm-hmm.
And understand this, that if you are faithful to God, I mean, you're light. You're the light of the world. And right now, it may seem like not many people are seeing your light, but as it gets darker, you're not going to get lighter, but your light's going to be more obvious. And people are going to come to that light. They're going to come to Christ in you. Christ in you is going to draw them to you so you can tell them about him. I mean, that's what's coming. And so he gave us perspective of the storm. And we've talked about, is America under judgment? You know, America, Islam, Christianity, and Israel. A state of the nation, and these different things that God was telling us. And the storm that we're talking about and that others are talking about, it's a storm to prepare the church who's going to be victorious. That's very encouraging. I'll talk more about it after the break.
I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the VFN radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And it's just so God. Right. God gives you the tools. He gives you just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about it with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So that you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed, you know? And so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go, the next thing you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more.
Pat, you know, the great thing about all of our VFN Radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're talking about coming off of a 7-day time of prayer and fasting, just seeking direction, seeking a word of the Lord. And, you know, when you read Isaiah 58, if you haven't yet read Isaiah 58, if you haven't read Matthew chapter 6, when Jesus is talking to us on the Sermon on the Mount, to pray and to fast and to seek him, that you'll be encouraged to understand that it's just not a logical thing. This is not about our minds. This is about obedient type thing. It's a longing for, and it is a way that we can hasten our Lord's return, because we are the bride of Christ. He is the bridegroom. Father God's going to present us to his son at the wedding banquet for as his bride. And so, and Jesus doesn't know when he's coming back, but when the Father sees us longing and fasting and praying for him, that maybe this will be the hastening of his coming. Maybe the Father says now.
Yeah.
Now. And until then, we're winning as many as we can, you know, to him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that what we're seeing is that there's going to be an outpouring, a blessing coming to the, and it's like, you know, was the $1 million for you, or was the $1 million for what you could do for God with it? So
that's right.
I see just a huge outpouring for the lost, and for the captive church, and for the heretical bound Christians who'd have been taught heresies that are just, you know, crazy stuff. And, traditions of men that have held them captive and made God's word of none effect, those guys. And they're just going to fall in love with God. Wow. They're going to go, oh, this religion. I've been religious now for 10 years, and it's been like toting water. And God's just going to rock your world. He's going to just, you're going to fall so in love with him. And I just want to encourage you. Yeah, you know, it's going to be the worst of times and the best of times. And it's going to take a rough time for people to look up. Sometimes it just takes a difficult time. You got to be on your back sometimes before you'll look up. You know, I remember as a deputy that, you know, sometimes, you know, you're walking around, you're the one in authority, and you can be overly confident, or you can just be taking things for granted and not putting things into perspective that, you know, you're carrying this authority around, so you got to be real careful with it. But all of a sudden, you end up in a fight where, you know, somebody starts fighting you, and you're fighting for your life. And, you know, the suspect just starts, you know, whatever, doing crazy things. And you're literally fighting to keep your gun on your side. You're fighting to get your radio to say, help, signal 36. You always say, signal 30. So that's it. You don't say the sixth part, they won't know that you're in trouble. And that means everybody run and come to you. And you're just fighting for your life. And you get through that and you cuff them up. Believe it or not, there was a day I could do that. And now I just have to hit you with a stick. Sorry, I couldn't wrestle you anymore. I just got to use wisdom now instead of strength. And it's more powerful than strength. That and you finish all that, and you're sitting back, and you're relaxing, and you're just kind of regaining your composure. And sometimes you got so much adrenaline that's going in your body begins to vibrate. It's just adrenaline just surging. Your body just automatically releases this adrenaline. And this, your whole thing just shakes, and it's not a fear thing. It's just like your body just in fight or flight. It just dumps those adrenalines down, and it's amazing how you can get strength you didn't know you had. Ah, I miss those days. And then I know all the strength I have is over there, that little small pile. Anyway, and in that, you're thinking, man, life's just so good. Look how nice the night is. Look how nice the day is. Oh, the birds and the job. I like my job. This is a nice car. This is a nice sandwich. And it's like when you go through a time of fighting for your life, when you go for a time of struggle, and you go through a time of it could have been over. I was at the end of myself. I didn't think I was going to come out. That when you come out of that, it's just like spring.
Yeah.
Like coming out of a hard winter and then coming into spring and just. Everybody loves spring because everything's starting to come up again. It's like a fresh wind blowing. When you fast and you pray that you enter into it, it may feel like you're struggling and you're like that police officer is fighting for his life. But the Lord says, lay it down. Just lay your life down. Just really lay it down.
Yeah.
Don't win this one. Don't win this one. Just lay it down. And when you do, when you pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow the Lord, just this refreshing comes over you. And then all of a sudden, I know I had problems 7 days ago, but I can't remember what they were. Excuse me. I'm totally fine. This is the best burger I've had in my life. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Welcome to McDonald's. No, I'm joking. But, you know, it's just like everything's good. Hey, how are you doing, Mr. Walker Man down the street? And it's just amazing. You know, and the thing is, imagine if the church began to be willing to go through those struggles of dying to our flesh and to say, you know, I want to live a life of fasted lifestyle. I want to be weak before you, God. I want to be, yes, your power is made perfect in my weakness, but you know, I want to live that life where everything's beautiful that puts things into perspective. And if we don't fast, you know, God has no problem allowing us to go through times we have to fight for our life. And we come out of that. And guess what? We feel pretty much the same way I come out of a fast than an officer does when he comes out of a fight. It feels pretty much the very same way as like a release. It's like no worries, no troubles. Everything's fine. And we can voluntarily embrace that. We can voluntarily. And that's the whole thing about being a Christian is that we offer. He says, brothers, he says, listen, in view of God's mercies, offer your body as a living sacrifice. And that word in the Greek means victim. Means embracing weakness. Offer your body as a living sacrifice. Holy. Separate yourself from those things that are unholy. Holy and pleasing to the Lord. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do you want to worship God? You know, begin to think, you know what? I want to live in 2013. I want to live a prayer and fasted lifestyle. Whatever you're, listen, now's the time. Today's the day. Don't, there is no witnesses or suspects in heaven. Come on, quit using other people as the reason why you're not following God, you're not obeying God. Just all by yourself. Maybe you're like, you know, Charles Seymour in Azusa Street. It's about to come out of your life because you said, you know what? Nobody else is, but I'm going to.
That's right.
You're not going to complain because you got one eye. You're not going to complain because you've been rejected. You're not going to complain because people have treated you badly because of your race. You're not going to complain because all you could afford was one room. You're not going to complain because people didn't want God to move. You're going to say, I'm just going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. And one man so desperate to see God move, Azusa Street is in the history books today. Ministries launched all around the United States, which progressed all the way through Amy Sybil McPherson and all the way where you have Oral Roberts and things that just unfolded over the years. Catherine Kuhlman and what is the man today? Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. I mean, these are all generational connections there in the context of all that. Maybe that's you, you know. You know, maybe that stream of what God's going to do is going to be in your obedience and your willingness to lay down your life. And what he showed us is that it's going to be a great harvest. And you have to prepare yourself for the harvest. During this time of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord, the Lord showed us a great harvest. And understand, a harvest, for example, you know, we had a chance to go to Johnny Foote's pond up in in the country, and it's a little small ranch, and I'm fishing there with Jared and Amber, and it's catfish in it, and some other things, but obviously the catfish. And I mean, it's like fishing in a barrel. I mean, there was just fish everywhere. And so it's just fun catching a fish. And so, you know, I'm throwing in my hook and I'm snatching out a huge catfish, and Jared's throwing in his hook, catching one, and snatching it, throwing up on the beach. And then, you know, Amber throws hers out there and catches one. We're like, oh, this is great. And all of a sudden it's like, stop. And they're like, what? It's like, we got to clean these things.
Yeah. That's right.
There is something to do in the harvest. You can't just keep throwing people up on the beach saying they may said a prayer. You're going to have to now raise them. You're going to have to begin to pour your life out for them and share your experiences and teach them to be disciples and teach them to hear the voice of the Lord and empower them. He said, go into all the world and tell them about me. Preach to the kingdom of God, and those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But then teach them to be my disciples. Teach them to obey everything I commanded you. Well, I don't obey anything you commanded me. Why should I teach them? It's like, no, well, we need to start obeying what God has called us to do. And so we can't just keep throwing fish on the beach and think that, you know, we're not going to have to do it. It's just going to be dead, and the animals are going to come and take it. We can't call that a harvest. And so we have to prepare for this harvest. And when you Proverbs, when you hear wisdom, what God says about those who sleep during the harvest, those who say, oh, it's just too hard. And it's like when the harvest comes, when you think about a natural corn harvest or a wheat harvest, I mean, you got to go out there, grape harvest. I mean, you got to do it at the time it's done. I mean, you can't just like, let's just wait till like another month. It's like, no, you have to do it in the time of the harvest. You got to harvest it. Mm-hmm. And once you throw it up on the beach, once you put it in your basket, once you put it into your barns, there's stuff you have to do to it. You know, and we as believers, we relate to our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk to them. We love them. God says, I'm not unjust. I will not forget the love you have shown me as you help my people and continue to help them. Mm-hmm. You help them with a strategy to have a productive life. You introduce them to the voice of God. You encourage them to follow God. You begin to share your life stories and your testimony to them, realizing that because they look at you and thinking, oh, how did you get here? And they say, well, you know, grace of God. And you tell them all the things in your life, how God brought it through because you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. You need to be there for the harvest. There needs to be many, many workers. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'll send out workers. And that's what we've been doing. We've been laboring and laboring. God has shown me the harvest. He's shown others the harvest as well. It's a big harvest. It's just a big, huge harvest of just all of mankind coming into the kingdom of God. And with that comes responsibility. It becomes responsibility. We have to prepare ourselves. I mean, we've been digging trenches. We've been laying foundation. We've been establishing things. Things that God has been telling us. Why? So that people can move quickly into immaturity, to maturity, to be trained up, discipled, and launched into their destiny, because everything healthy reproduces after itself. Listen, half the church of the world is totally different than most of what the American church looks like. But the power of God is moving powerfully. Why? Because they understand that God, it's the Great Commission is not a great suggestion. They understand, listen, I got to hear what you got to say. I got to understand how this works. I got to understand what God's saying, because I got to tell people about him. I got to tell people about him. This one particular Chinese couple, that they find God, and he says, oh my goodness, take care of the kids. You're going to need a job because I've got to go tell people about him. And she didn't see him, I don't know if it was a month or a year or something, But he went out and began to just win people from village to village to village to village, church plant after church plant after church plant. And they both were excited about the celebration of what God had called them to do. Listen, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a pearl of great price. And when he found, this is the true kingdom. When you find the true kingdom, the kingdom of God, he said he put it there. He went back and took all of his money and he bought that particular pearl of great value. It's like a man who was looking in the field and found a great treasure. He goes back and takes everything. It costs you everything, though it's free. He takes everything he has and he just throws it right in. He says, listen, I want the whole field. I don't want just the treasure was on there. I want anything that even touched the treasure. Everything about God, I want. Listen, this is what God says. He says, if in fact you're say my disciple, you're my disciple and you don't give up everything, you can have no part of me. I'm sorry. You know, that is the context of what you should have been hearing if you've never heard that. He said, listen, a person who's going to make war will count the cost. A person who's going to build a building will count the cost. He wants to make sure he can complete this thing. And so when you look at what God is saying, you measure the cost. You say, what is it going to cost me? Everything. But it's okay. He's going to give you more than enough. He's going to give you more than enough. So I'm going to encourage you, you know, prepare yourself. Begin to prepare yourself. I had the privilege of being a part of an awesome outpouring at Brownsville Assembly of God on Father's Day of 1995 that was, you know, awesomely shepherded and led by, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, and the evangelist there was Steve Hill. And it just was just overwhelmingly, you know, we weren't prepared for a lot of things, but it's just amazing. We just began to get busy and work and prepare and do and just all these different things that came out of that. You know, because we wanted, maybe God will move one more week. Maybe he'll move another week. Maybe, yeah. Oh, this is a month. Maybe we can ask for a month. Maybe he can ask for a year. And just, you know, thousands begin to come. But the first thing God began to do is to prepare us and to heal us, because we were all wounded and had all these issues and stuff. And he just loved on us for quite a period of time. But listen, this next move of God, I believe it's going to be it's going to hit. And you're not going to have 8 months or 6 months to prepare. You're not going to be able to quarantine yourself, especially with today's technology, and say there's a private move of God going on. I mean, you're going to have to, it's just going to be out. I mean, you sneeze and it's on 15 people's Facebook. I mean, when God begins to move in this next, because of technology and because of the ability to communicate, I mean, think about it. Azusa Street stopped when the secretary ran off with the mailing list. Wow. When communication was broke down. You could wish to break down communication today, but you can't break down a communication.
Nope.
So what looks like a negative thing with a billion people being able to say whatever they want to say, listen, that's great, because the good news will spread just as good as the bad news.
That's right.
And one way to prepare, think about this, and that's what we've been positioning ourselves for. That's why we're talking to you on VFN Radio, to be that or a voice of light and hope and direction and encouragement about you know, that we're in a ship, and the ship is a powerful move of God, and it's going all over the place. And we're going to tell you, hold on, don't get off. This is God. Stay there. You know, disciple, pour your life out. This is not going to last forever. We don't know how long this is going to last. You know, prepare this next generation. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. Lay down your life. And God will just transform this world. And he could give us back America. Totally awesome. We'll be right back after this message. You know, it's so exciting to think about that we personally can be a part of what God is doing in the season that we live. So often we look in the history books, we look at others, and we say, look what they did and look what they're doing. But we found out that we can affect this generation. We found out through VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that there is a virtual stadium of an audience that joins us and stays with us 365 days a year. And we also found out the way that we can actually get them exposed to VFN TV and VFN Radio is through the social networking community. Over a billion people plus are involved in the social network community. And for a dollar, for a simple dollar, we're able to communicate with them. It kind of averages out to about a dollar based on what we presently know. That when we share it with them, they come and sit down in the stadium and they get to hear all the encouraging words, all the prophetic happenings, things that we're sharing to encourage them, but also draw them to Christ. Yes, Billy Graham did it for years in stadiums and did it wonderful, but we have a virtual stadium that stretches from as far as the east as from the west, and you can be a part of it. Partner today. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. A dollar puts one person in the seat. Imagine $1 a month.
That's 12 people in a year that you sat down that stays in the stadium. $5 a month. You're sitting five people in the virtual stadium. Or $100. That's 100 people a month that you're sitting in this virtual stadium to be encouraged, because we're partnering together to bring people to the light of Jesus Christ. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing pretty good.
I actually thought
about you yesterday when I looked out my window and saw this big old giant beaver in the backyard.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh, wow.
It's true, isn't it? Is it not true? It's true.
It is true. It is true.
Is it a beaver or is it some sort of like monster from the lagoon or something?
I have no idea what it is. Is it a beaver, badger? I don't know. All I know, it's big, fat, and furry. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness.
Oh, you're talking about the beaver, right?
That's right.
Well, did you get a picture of it?
I tried taking a picture of it, but it got very grainy, you know. But I tried.
This is sort of like the Loch Ness monster. Nobody's going to believe us unless you get a picture.
I know it. I was quick on the draw, but it got so hazy. But he was just standing there all alone, minding his own business, and I took one turn and he was gone.
Yeah, it sounds like Loch Ness to me. I don't know if this is true or not. We're going to have to document
this. Get the picture.
Put a video on this puppy. We got to show it, man. They're not going to. Things in New Jersey comes out of hole sometimes that you just don't know what happened there. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness. Wow. All kinds of animals.
Yeah. But it's true. I want to see this thing. Is it a beaver or is it a monster? I mean, that's a huge hole.
It is a huge hole.
My imagination had all kinds of things to come out of the hole. I was sitting there on those steps that were thinking, you know, like, what's this big hole beside me? He starts talking about this huge thing, you know, comes out of there and lays out in the sun. I'm thinking, oh, in Florida, we call that on the beach, you know, get a tan. He's got like monsters coming out of the ground up here in Jersey.
And it's a huge hole.
I know, man. I totally know that. Well, welcome back to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Coming to the last quarter of the Extra Hour, we have been talking about some of the things the Lord has made known to us in a time of prayer and fasting, a 7-day prayer and fasting. God's voice is poured for 4 hours, wasn't it? It was 4 hours. Yeah. Ministers from around the United States, we got on the telephone and just recorded this awesome nonstop. And we obviously couldn't share everything. The Lord just was speaking to everybody. Listen, God does speak. No matter what anybody tells you, he does speak, and he wants to speak to you. And, you know, we could tell you everything, or we could say, you know what, let me introduce you to the one who knows everything, and he will tell you everything.
That's right.
I'm looking right now. I just looked up, and I'm looking at the Facebook here, and I'm looking at Josh Brittenell, and Josh Brittenell's got like a banana slicer.
I saw that.
It's like a banana. You can slice a banana at just one stroke of a at one time.
the whole thing.
Yeah, you just kind of lay this like grated looking shape like a banana, and you push it over and you press it down. Of course, you know, while he's posting it, he says the reviews are really, really funny, and it says something like, you know, he's having this particular guy can't use a knife because he's on parole. His parole officer won't lose his knife. So he's finding a way to be able to slice his banana.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, man, I really like him. Good guy. Wow. So God's just speaking by volumes. I was just speaking to a young man this weekend. As I was just glad to be alive. Mm-hmm. Hello.
Enjoyed the birds.
Hello. How are you? And I talked to this one man. I was going through Lowe's, and he's carrying like a 4x12 sheet of, you know, like plywood, but it wasn't. It was actually foam. Mm. So obviously it's real light.
Yeah.
And, you know, people don't talk to people. And so I just go, man, hell, you're just so strong, man. And he walks by, just turns his head looking at me the whole time he's walking. I'm thinking, that was very funny. You didn't think that was funny? That was very, very funny.
Lots of melancholy.
Yeah, right. I interrupted his conversation in his head.
Yeah, messed him all up.
I was just talking to myself and you interrupted it. But God, I mean, God just did some powerful things. And I got all these notes. I got like 18 pages of different things that God was saying. But the biggest thing he's saying is get ready. Prepare yourself. You know, many people are going to be drawn to God. Listen, people want God. They don't want religion. They want God. But understand when they do come to God,
you as a believer have responsibility to introduce them to the God that they just met, to begin to disciple them. And one of the things that's been said about the American church is that it's an undiscipled church. So what is one of the ways you can prepare yourself? I don't know. Get discipled. Find somebody. Don't just kind of grab something and say, I'm going to do a self-study here. Get related to someone. Find somebody in your gathering, your church. Go to your pastor and say, listen, I've never been discipled, and I want to be discipled. And to say, you don't want a program. You want to be discipled. And I know a lot of pastors would be going like, oh, this is great. Are you serious? They'd be excited. And then I know others that would go like, you know, we got a room for that. You know, you pass the podiatrist, the neurosurgeon room, and then swing down just a little past there and just go to that class. And, you know, it's like something like that. Versus you want somebody to walk with you. Jesus walked with the 12 and taught them for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And you want to find somebody that's going to walk with you. And discipleship is not taught. It's caught. You got to catch it. So when they're not only when the person is talking to you about it, do you have a audible experience, but you have a visual experience because you can watch their life that they're practicing. Right. You watch how their marriage is. You watch how their finances are. You watch how when things don't go their way, you watch how they make mistakes, but God has grace for it. You watch all that and it helps you out. Go, wow, God's real merciful. You know, I know who discipled me. You know, that's what they would say with John. It's like, man, there's hope for me. Right. Yeah, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, and don't want to, and it's just, isn't that true though?
Absolutely.
Discipleship is best caught, not taught. Jesus not only said it, he did it, and they watched it. He'd say, he would say it, he would do it, and then he'd say, imitate me.
Yeah.
And what you have is 10,000 teachers just saying, go do it, versus those that are setting an example for those to go follow.
Teachers talking about the what, you know, it's like, I get the what, I get it. Can you show me the how?
Yes.
Right. I know that Paul and Silas were in jail. I can read. Okay.
Right.
Walk with me and help me. And right. How do you pray? And you know,
right.
And that's a great way about discipleship. But it's just so wonderful about everything that the Lord's been sharing with us through this fast and his voice. And, you know, one of the things that the Lord was speaking to me about during this fast, and you know, we're crying out, man. We're asking God during this consecrated time of just not just shutting the food down, but entertainment and everything, because we want to hear what God is saying. We want to love Him, and so we're asking God, reveal Your love, you know, to me. Reveal Your love to us, and help me in turn to love You back. You know, love You with all my heart, with all my mind, with all my soul, with all my strength, and. He was speaking. If you missed last week's, oh my goodness, last week's program, you got to go on the torch, go to bfntv.com. But you're going to hear about, you know, God's relentless love for you and the love of God. And she's just speaking volumes. And you know, one night I was in worship and I heard that song, you know, Lord, I want to yearn for You. And just, you know, caught up in worship and just started praying that out and just started hearing God speak. And He says, listen, you know, what happens when two yearning hearts collide? When two yearning hearts collide, they just connect. They just go after each other. That's what happens in the natural. You know, it's just a drawn. And the Lord was just reminding me that, you know, our connection with God, our true connection with God, is just like spirit to spirit. It's our spirit's ability to connect with God's spirit. God is a spirit, and so are we. Our flesh and our body just contains who we really are. But, you know, that's why funerals are so sobering. When you go to a funeral and you see that the person is no longer there, all what's left is just the body. And what's so amazing is that God, that's how God wants to connect to us, spirit to spirit. In fact, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, for he who unites himself with the Lord is one spirit with Him. And it's so, I mean, that's powerful, because this is how God's going to begin to reveal His love to us. The Lord's going to reveal to us His love by His Spirit. We can't figure it out in our mind. We can't study the love of God. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know what I'm saying? You know, you can read books about the love of God. You need to experience the love of God. And it's not going to get it through your mind. It's going to get it, you know, through to your spirit. Now, I was reminded in John 15, verses 12 through 13. This is Jesus' words. He says, my command is this, not my suggestion, not my wish, not my hope, not my desire, right? But my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Just love, right? Love mm-hmm. each other as the same way that I've demonstrated to you, the same way I've poured out my love for you. It works wonderfully with mercy too, by the way. You know what I'm saying? Right. Offer mercy as the Lord has offered mercy to you. That's something mm-hmm. I try to remind myself often, right?
Right.
And then the verse 13 goes on to say that greater love has no one than this. I mean, Jesus is about to make such a profound statement that the greatest way to display love, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And it's like, wow. You know, God, this is the greatest way that our love can be displayed for one another. You know, it's talking about, again, you know, it says, love as I have loved you. Well, Jesus laid down his life for us.
Right.
But God's not asking us to get on a physical cross. He's asking us to lay down our desires, our wishes.
Well, you know, think about it. Death is sometimes easier.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the methodology of the process, but it's easier sometimes. It is easier to die for someone than it is to live for someone.
Sure.
Live for them, not just live with them.
Yeah.
It's easier to die for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Than to live for someone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sticking around. I'm staying around for you.
Right. Yeah. And God began to speak that we are the channels of his love. Believers, we can become the channels. We are the channels where his love flows through us. Once he shows us and reveals to us how much he loves us, you know, I can only love you to the extent and to the proportion that I know what love is. And if my love is very small because I haven't experienced the love of God, then I am loving you. You know, and God's calling us to experience his love, to encounter his love. Why? So that we can allow that love as an open channel to others. But oftentimes what gets in the way of love is us. You know what I'm saying? It's me. Mm. You know, it's us. We clog up the channel that God wants to flow through. And I was just so encouraged. The Lord just continued to say over and over again, just, you know, lay it all down. Just continue to lay it all down, because whatever you've done to the least of these brothers of mine, you are doing it to me. That's such a powerful scripture. It's an amazing truth, because we get to be like God, Christ-like, when we follow in his steps and in his ways, and we lay down those things that at the very end are not even worth fighting for. You look and it's like, what? Did I get into an argument over that?
Yeah, right.
You know, did I really, you know what I'm saying? Did I get offended over that? And it's like,
it's,
you know,
amazing.
What?
It's like, that's a, whew, we got to do a segment. We got to talk about Beta Satan.
Oh, yeah, offense. We've talked a little bit about it on VFN Radio already, but we really need to go into it because.
Don't take the bait.
And the truth is that if we just follow what God has told us and love as he has already displayed and given to us, and remove ourselves from the channel, from the waterway in which he desires to move his love, my goodness, how many people can be loved and touched by God through us if we just follow him?
That's awesome. Totally awesome. Yes, Lord, help us to be lovers of you and to receive that revelation of your love that we can pour it out back to you and to others. Well, I was hoping that I'd get to the intercessor. I know that I told you that I was going to get to it. There's so much to it. It's going to be a significant part by God's grace tomorrow's program. It's called Intercessors. It's on Intercessors. And if you are an intercessor, tell your friends to listen up, to tune in tomorrow to VFN Radio. We're going to be talking about intercessors. Maybe you feel like you're called to be an intercessor. Maybe you are an intercessor. Maybe you are a leader in the kingdom of God and you're thinking you need some intercessors. Man, this is really going to help you out as we're talking about it. Well, I just want to be able to cover the wisdom moment for today. The wisdom moment for today is from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. Proverbs 28, verse 1. It reads, "The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions." Let me say that again. Proverbs 28:1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You see those people that are constantly dodging and who lives a life they're suspicious of everyone, and they're constantly moving, changing, switching jobs, relationships, churches, because they feel that they're not safe. You know, something's going on. They're not safe.
Yeah.
And they're terrified all the time. And because they don't feel protected. And the reason they don't feel protected is because they feel like they're the ones protecting themselves. And they look within themselves and they know that I can't protect myself. But they don't tell anybody that. And so they live this constant life of, oh, my goodness, I'm in control, but I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to let you know. And they're just like, they're constantly just fleeing everything. Got to go. Can't say, it's like, dude, every time I talk to you about meeting with you, you look at your watch and say, you got to go do something. It's like, at what point are you just going to acknowledge that you're terrified? You know?
Right.
Oh, what time are you going to, you know, this fleeing thing that goes on? What is in your life that keeps you from the light? What's in your life that every time God wants to reach out to you and let you know that he loves you, he's got a plan for your life, and he will forgive you and set you free from that, you run. What is the wickedness that's there? You know, they see the police and suddenly fear comes over them. They stumble over their own feet in the presence of true authority. They're like the movie Fugitive, but the difference is in the character of the movie Fugitive, he was wrongly accused and innocent, but they're not.
Mm.
There's something wrong. There's something wrong in their life. They're the ones that turn their eyes away and says, you know what? Listen, this is not how it's supposed to be. You know, think about this. Are you ready to stop being maybe that person? Maybe are you ready to stop being, have a cowarding spirit? Which Revelation says, by the way, that cowards don't enter into the kingdom of God, into the heaven. And become bold like a lion, bold for God, bold in the place of life and authority. I mean, think about it. When Jesus spoke, they said, who is this that speaks with such authority? That was the conversation. You think it would be like, this man's dead, he's alive now, and this person was sick. But they're like, this authority, he doesn't not like a teacher who doesn't have any authority that just talks. But he has authority.
Mm-hmm.
Who is this? Are you ready to settle down in your life and your relationships and your job and repent of in your life for the sin that you've been carrying around and begin to trust God? Where you are, just stay and stand with the city and the ministry that God's called you to, and say, you know what? I'm here, God. I'm here. I'm going to stay. I'm not going to flee. And I'm going to be bold where I am. I'm going to be bold in my relationship for God, you know, humbly bold for you. The wisdom for today is Proverbs 28:1. The wicked man flees, though no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as lions. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.